privilege, this opportunity, and this honor for preaching, teaching, and hearing your word. Father God, I thank you for the truth. I ask and believe now, Lord, that you empower me with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, that I might speak your truth with authority and conviction and power. Father, that we might be blessed and or convicted, whatever our need happens to be. In Jesus' name, amen. If you remember, some time ago, we started tracing the life of Jesus from Bethlehem, from the conception, the Immaculate Conception in Mary, and I told you that we would end up tracing his life to Calvary, to the crucifixion, so that you would see what trail or what function the truth has in your life and how the truth works in your life. And I'm glad that we're finally here, but I'm also a little bit concerned, and I'll explain to you why. All through Jesus' life, people tried to kill him every way that there was. They tried to ridicule him, they tried to make fun of him, they tried to find him in mistakes, they tried everything. And Jesus, the truth, prevailed all the time. But it wasn't until they took him to the place called Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place where you think, where the final decision had to be made, where the decision between Barabbas and Jesus had to be made. Matthew 27:33. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him. You see, what's happened here, we finally are at the point where the truth has passed every single test you've given it. You came here, you didn't have jobs, you have jobs. You didn't have wives, you have wives. You didn't have children, you have children. You didn't have health, you've got health. You didn't have prosperity, you have prosperity. Jesus Christ has passed the test every single place. And finally we got to the place of the skull. The only place where the final decision has to be made, and you're still drunk on vinegar and gall. See, the only place to defeat Jesus, the only place Jesus will back down is right up here. And when you have your mind filled with vinegar and gall, Jesus Christ, the truth, will taste thereof, will not drink, and then he is crucified. Then the exchange is made for Barabbas. Now, you didn't have anything to say about it. You tried to crucify me, you tried to attack me, and everyone in this room has done it. You've all had opinions that were against what I was telling you. But every time I told you, what I told you came to pass. But you have found a way where you can prevail. You sneaky little devil, you. And that is in the skull when you say, I don't care. I just don't want to. I don't feel like it, and I'm not going to. Well, what would make that part of you make such a stupid decision where it is so obvious that everywhere else that the truth has been applied to your life, your sin, not even the devil's. Some of you were so caught up in drugs and alcohol, the devil had you by the throat. And the truth did not back down and prevailed, and you won. But you see, you got a little complacent, my friend. You thought Jesus was automatic all the time, everywhere, and you could continue the way that you were. But you see, you made the same mistake that these people make. When it comes time, see, Jesus Christ said, the truth says, I will prevail everywhere. But there's only one place he needs your cooperation, and that's in your thinking. But you have to have a clear mind in order to have clear thoughts. And the reason you don't have clear thoughts and you don't make the right decisions, and the reason the truth doesn't work for you now, is because you are trying to give Jesus vinegar mingled with gall. Now, how would vinegar and gall get into the skull? Through your bloodstream. And how did it get through to your bloodstream? You drank it and you ate it. And it became part of your bloodstream. And when the vinegar and the gall gets to your mind and you hear truth, Jesus Christ will not participate. They do not mingle. Vinegar and gall will mingle, but vinegar and gall and truth, Jesus Christ, do not mix. So as a result, you couldn't make a right decision if your life depended on it. You see, it's the only thing that Jesus left it completely up to you. Everywhere else you could have your vinegar and your gall, and some of you have hung on to it. And Jesus prevailed anyway, because we were talking finances, we were talking marriage, we were talking health, we were talking a lot of places where there is no option. The truth always prevails. But when they finally got him to Golgotha, and if you think about it, the trip that Jesus Christ made started in the womb, in the reproduction organs, where there was an immaculate conception, and then through there he went all through the system till he ended up in your mind. And everything that you said was wrong, everything that you said you wanted to be relieved of, you've been relieved of. And there's not a place in your life and in your body where Jesus Christ has not prevailed. See, the problem is now we've come to the skull, to the place called Golgotha. And let me tell you what puts people in that condition. Let's go back to verse 17 of chapter 27. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? That's question number one. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Verse 20, But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. But you see, you've already been asked that once, and that didn't, nothing really culminated. Verse 21, The governor answered and said to them, Whether of the twain or of the two will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. He asked him the same question again, didn't he? I wonder why. Fill a little time. They couldn't hear him. No, he's going to ask three times. One for the body, one for the soul, and one for the spirit. See, it has to be, your rejection of Jesus has to be complete. Verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, What shall I then with Jesus, which is called Christ? The third time he's asked, What shall I do with Christ? Let him be crucified, was the answer. Well, what would make people make such a stupid decision? I'll show you in a minute. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? Why are you against the truth? Why are you against the blessings? Why are you against mentally what you've accepted physically? You said you wanted a wife. You said you wanted a husband. You said you wanted a job. You said you wanted release from this and that. And when it happened physically, you rejoiced. But now that God is asking a specific question, do you want to stay clean everywhere? And the answer is, no, we don't. You can take away sickness and disease, but don't take away my good feelings. I like the vinegar and the gall. And I'll tell you in a minute why you love it so much. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. They're drunk. They didn't hear him. They're so wild with vinegar and gall, just like you. You do not hear the questions. You have a one-track mind. I want to drink. I want to smoke. I want to do it my way. I want to suffer. I want to be poor. I want to be justified. I don't want to change. And the only way to do that is let the truth fail. See, therein lies the problem. You've been trying to make the truth fail ever since I met you. Every one of you have been trying to make the truth fail. And the truth has not failed and will not fail in any phase until we get to the mind where you are then given the option, do you prefer to continue to live this way or not? See, prior to that, you didn't have a clear thought in your mind. You were too preoccupied with your drugs and your alcoholisms and all your problems and your angers and your tempers and your poverty and all the things that you were into. So God was saying, in reality, it's not fair to ask you this question now. You've got too many problems. And I remember you when you all came here, you lying hypocrites. Oh, if Jesus would only do this. And what's your problem? Well, I don't have a job. I'm homeless. I don't have a wife. I'm hung up with this. I've got this problem. Boy, but I sure love the Lord. You liar. Jesus Christ has removed everything, every one of those problems from your life. And what did you do? You went back to your garbage. For what excuse? You don't have a wife? Yes, you do. You don't have a husband? Yes, you do. You don't have a job? Yes, you do. Some of you got two and three of them. So you see what it really boils down to. Jesus Christ put you in a corner. The truth put you in a corner where you were going to have to make a choice regardless of all these excuses that you had before. And now that you have no more excuses, now that you have none of those problems that you had before, the truth finally came out. You prefer Barabbas over Jesus Christ. Sad commentary. And you're a Christian,
right?
Or are you? You know, again, I have no way of knowing, but I would really check out all of these people that said crucify him. We're not Christians. All these people that finally said we don't want him, we don't care about him, don't tell us, we don't care if he's done no evil, we don't care if we can't find any witnesses, we don't care if we have to buy people to bribe people to lie about him. We don't care about any of that. Don't bother us with details. Just crucify him. That sounds, my friend, like some of the garbage that I've heard from people in this room. And certainly by your behavior. Now look at verse 25. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. We don't care. If he does happen to be the Son of God, then his blood will be on us and our kids. Now, there is a real wise statement. There's a rational thinking group of people. But I've heard people in this room say the same thing, in essence. Now, verse 33, and when they came unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, Jesus is still prevailing. They gave him vinegar. See, he got to the skull. He got to the mind. The truth finally came to the place where you could have made the final decision and done away with it forever. The problem was your mind was full of vinegar and gall. And I'll share with you in a minute what that is. When the truth, Jesus Christ, tasted of the vinegar and the gall, he would not drink. Why? Because he knows your choice is made. See, when the problem was that you had the vinegar and the gall in your body because of drugs and alcohol and temper and wrong food and overweight and all those problems that you had, you see, those problems were the ones that were causing the gall, and that was your excuse. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ removed all of that. And now you hide vinegar and gall in your freezers like if I care. You know, and if we go out somewhere as a group, I don't care if you eat the tongues on your wife's shoes. I don't care what you eat. Ain't no sense trying to hide it from me. And neither does anybody else, by the way, because it's none of our business. But you see, the problem is we finally came to shove, didn't it? And you've been exposed, my friend, big time.
Amen.
That spirit in you is hanging out a mile.
Right.
And I'm going to nail it to the wall.
Amen.
I said, and they crucified him. Crucify means to render helpless by impaling on a cross or a stake. In other words, you pin down the truth to the point that it's made helpless. And what does that? Vinegar and gall in the skull. Nothing else. Cancer cannot stop the truth in your body. There's no disease, there's no virus, there's no alcohol, there's nothing, food, nothing can stop Jesus Christ from prevailing in your body. But the vinegar and the gall in the skull, in the mind, then tells him the problem is not that you have it in the body, the problem is you like it. Because you're making a clear decision now to keep it that way. because you used to tell me you had vinegar and gall because you were homeless and sick and poverty stricken and all of those other excuses that you gave me. You said that's why you had gall. That's why you had vinegar. But you see, God has changed all of that. There's not a person in this room that it isn't at least 150,000% better off now than they were when they first got here. But you're still making the same decision about vinegar and gall. Now let me tell you what's happened with the truth in this trek. In the beginning, it says Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. The king of the whole nation tried to kill Jesus and couldn't. In other words, all the authority, all the strength, all of the desire you had in your body to keep Jesus out couldn't do it. Also, we are told that Satan told Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Get depressed and kill yourself. That doesn't do it either, does it? Oh, it will when we get to the vinegar and the gall in the skull, but not here. The Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. So you get all the friends you want, counsel with each other all you want, try to find fault with what I say all you want. It does not work because you're fighting the truth, not me. Matthew also says, and they were offended in him. So you can be offended, you can get upset, you can stay away, you can cuss, you can fuss, you can muss, whatever. That still does not do anything. The truth is still there. You see, I'm going to help you tonight. I'm going to help you tonight to get rid of the truth once and for all, or once and for all get rid of Barabbas. But you're going to make a choice tonight, my friend. And when you walk out of here, your butt's going to be saddled with Barabbas, or you're going to be free by taking Christ Jesus. Game time is over. Game time is over. And you can make whatever choice you want to make, but you're going to make a choice tonight. And if you don't think you are, you watch. Because Jesus Christ is going to be crucified in your life if you persist with his vinegar and gall. And you will end up with Barabbas. Now, let's find out what happened. What is this place called Golgotha? What is this place where you can finally destroy the truth and, in effect, make the truth helpless for a time? He will be back, and he will prevail, and you will wish you had him then. And you will ask for the rocks to fall down on you and hide you and kill you, but there ain't going to be no place to hide because you had your chance. You're having your chance right now. And when they were coming to a place, Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And then they crucified him. This place called Golgotha means the head of a person. It means the human head regarded as the seat of thought and intelligence, reason, memory, imagination, aptitude, and ability. You see, that's where Jesus Christ, where the truth finally comes. And that's the place where you either make the decision to accept him or you make a decision to accept Barabbas. But let me tell you something, you are not going to have any more. Because we're here now, we're at Golgotha. You don't have the choice of saying, no, not yet. Tonight you're going to say yes to Jesus or yes to Barabbas. But when you walk out of here, you're going to have one or the other, friend. Like it or not, you're going to have one. Because you see, you have no choice any more than these people did. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Up to this point, you could say no to the truth. I'll wait till later when I'm good and ready some other day. And in fact, you left without the truth, but not carrying anything else. After tonight, you leave without the truth, you're going to have Barabbas. Tonight, you have to make a choice. Now, let me tell you about this place called Golgotha. The place where Jesus finally required that people make a decision, having released their bodies from every single excuse that they had, so that there was no more reason. And when there was no more reason, they tried to give him vinegar mingled with gall so that his thinking would become as cloudy as theirs. And the truth, Jesus Christ, will not drink. He will not. Now here's the problem. We're coming to the point now where you have to deal sequentially with thought, intelligence, reason, memory, imagination, aptitude, and ability. Notice ability comes last. Thought comes first. You have to think in order to do anything, in other words. So you see, the problem here is that God is saying, you are never going to deal with Jesus Christ. He's never going to be a force in your life other than someone who takes care of your physical needs like a mammy, until you realize that we have to come to Golgotha, so that you have to deal with Jesus, the truth, by thinking. See, I don't care how you feel. Don't tell me you don't feel good, and I'm asking you why. What evil hath he done? Are you sick? Don't you have a job? Don't you have health? Don't you have a church? Don't you have a family that loves you? Don't you have the things that Jesus promised you? The answer is yes. Then why? What evil hath he done? I don't want to hear any more about how you feel. I don't really give a damn, to tell you the truth, about your stupid feelings, because they have no relevance to what we're talking about. I'm asking you right now, if you cannot make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, why? What evil has he done? What has he left you? What has he left you without? And the answer is absolutely nothing. You see, the problem is, you don't want to deal with the truth as an adult and a human being. You want to deal with the truth like a baby, like a child, and an immature child at that, an idiot, if you will. So you see, you first have to do some thinking here. And then once you think, you have to apply your intelligence. And then once you apply intelligence, then there's reasoning. I've got reasons why this is good. What reasons do you have why Jesus Christ is not good? What reasons do you have for still having vinegar and gall in your brain, in your mind? What reason do you have for still feeding yourself that garbage? And the answer is, you have no reasons. From reason, you go to memory, imagination, aptitude, and finally, ability. Now, Sunday, I'm going to go into this Golgotha a little bit more in detail, but I want to home in on vinegar and gall tonight, because that's what's killing you. See, everywhere else, you're clean. You see, there's not a person sitting in this room that could not right now say no to cigarettes, alcohol, or whatever, if you wanted to. It has no power whatsoever in your body. That's proven. Everything you said you wanted to get rid of, Jesus got rid of it. But as far as your mind is concerned, you are the same blubbering idiot you were when I first met you. In fact, you're worse off now, because now you know a lot more and you still make the same mental decisions. And in the same way, by the way. Now he says, the problem is that in this skull, in this head, in this seat of reason, in this brain, where thoughts are supposed to happen, where reasoning is supposed to go on, where intelligence is supposed to be, where aptitude is supposed to be, where ability is supposed to be, and it is, it was full of vinegar mingled with gall. So we look up the word vinegar, obviously. And it comes from two words. The Greek word literally means sour wine. The word vinegar comes from two words. Vin, where the Latin word vino comes from, which means wine, and aigre, which is a Latin word that means sour. So vin aigre is sour wine, or vinegar. Now, these people say, well, I don't drink any sour wine. A little bud here and there. It's Miller time now and then, but I don't drink no sour wine. Oh, yes, you do. See, vinegar means a sour liquid with a pungent odor containing acetic acid made by fermenting dilute alcoholic liquids. So you see, literally, it means anything you made with fermentation. And in order to ferment something, you have to introduce a ferment. And a ferment is a bacteria. And a bacteria is something that causes something to rot. So you see, all of these things that you love the taste of, you know what you love? It's the taste of rotting whatever it is. It's got bacteria introduced into it. That's what a ferment is. So it isn't just grapes gone sour. It's anything that you have introduced a bacteria that causes to ferment, like yeast in bread, for example. But you see, the word vinegar, if you know, say, well, I don't do that. No, don't get ahead of me again. See, you don't think too clear even when you're clear. The word vinegar also tells you about your physical reactions. If you have vinegar, it will cause a physical reaction, because vinegar means sour or ill-tempered speech and character. So you see, an individual who has fermentation, an individual who has vinegar mingled with the gall, is one who's sour and ill-tempered in speech and character. You can't say or do anything around this individual because their first response is ill-tempered speech and an ill-tempered character. You see, and the problem is not that they're that dumb to do that. The problem is they're that dumb not knowing what's causing that. And what's causing that is vinegar mingled with gall. And incidentally, the vinegar is what causes you to need the gall. And you got a lot of gall, friend, and I'll show you in a minute what that means. The first characteristic of this individual. Now understand this, Jesus is saying, when you have these characteristics, the truth is helpless in your mind. The truth will be rendered helpless to an individual who is sour and ill-tempered in his speech and character. You just do not have a chance. The truth will not. See, Jesus just gave up the ghost, didn't he? Because he said he gave you power and dominion. And when you make a choice and you say, I don't want you, Jesus will acquiesce to your decision and he will give up the ghost. Now when he comes back, see, Jesus comes to you now as Savior. He comes to you as provider. He comes to you now as physician. You go ahead, thou fool, you crucify him if you want. In a very short period of time, he'll be back as your judge. And that's the way he's coming back to this earth. He's coming back to judge and to punish. I would hope and pray that you're not in that boat, but if you are, better get yourself some paddles, because you're going to be up the proverbial creek without a paddle. First characteristic, again, is sour speech. Sour means salty and bitter talk. Sour means something that's made acid or rank by fermentation. Sour means to be cross. Oh, that person is so cross. What do you think happens to a person? What do you think happens to the truth when it runs into a person who's cross? The truth is made helpless, isn't it? You see, you think it's just an accident that the word cross and anger and the cross where Jesus was crucified were just happened to be the same word? No, there's a reason for it, because they're one and the same. When you get that way, you are the cross on which the truth is crucified. See, you think you're so macho, you think you're so smart, you think you are so strong, and you think you're so independent, because you still retain and maintain the ability and the desire to be cross, to be ill-tempered in manner, ill-tempered in speech. You can be cross whenever you want, but you fool. Satan tells you that's a virtue, but that's where the truth is crucified. You see, the truth will never be crucified in the life of an individual who's peaceful, in the life of an individual who's calm, in the life of an individual who refuses to be ill-tempered in speech, character, or manner. The truth will always prevail. There'll always be a mingling of the truth and an individual like that. But since you choose to be cross, the truth just does not work on your behalf. And it doesn't say, well, I've prayed, I've cast out Satan, I've done this. How do you expect the truth to work if you're cross? There's nothing wrong with the truth. Jesus was just as much Jesus when he showed up at Golgotha as he was when he was born in Bethlehem. He was just as much the Son of God then as he was at Golgotha. What happened? A cross. Only this time, the cross was in the seat of reasoning, the intelligence, the mind, the place, the head, where God has vested the authority for you to make all of your decisions. Now, all your life, you have tried to circumvent that by making your decisions with your emotions. But you see, when you came to this church, little by little, that was stripped away, and now you can't do that anymore. And now what's really happened, now you just come out and be a flat liar. Oh, yes, brother, I agree with that. I'm going to do that. And then you turn right around and do what the hell you wanted to do in the first place. Well, you see, you have a sour speech. You have vinegar and mingled with gall. And you're just a little cross, aren't you? Sour also means bad-tempered and peevish, morose, depressed, below what is normal. Poor. You see, to be sour also means to be poor, and to be poor means you don't have what you need. Doesn't matter how much more you have. Isn't it amazing? Your need always grows faster than your capacity. Why? Because you're sour. You are crucifying the truth. You are making the truth helpless. But you see, up until tonight, you were able to walk out of here just without the truth. Well, tonight, you'll walk out of here without the truth. You're going to have Barabbas hanging right around your neck because you got to make a decision tonight. Sour also means unpleasant and bitter. It means an individual or a thing that causes or shows sorrow, discomfort, and pain. Always complaining. There's always something wrong. There's always a pain, discomfort. Nothing pleases you. You can't do anything and enjoy it completely. There always has to be some pain, some discomfort, some sorrow attached to everything. The minute you wake up in the morning, your task becomes, as a vinegar individual, as a cross, to find some discomfort somewhere, no matter how many blessings you have, no matter what Jesus Christ has done for you, you find a way to find discomfort and pain. That's a sour, bitter individual. But you see, the problem is not what you're causing to your wife and your husband. The problem is not what you're causing with your children or even with your pastor and your church family. The problem is what you're causing between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, up until tonight, you've been able to do it and walk away without the truth, but with nothing else either. But tonight, we've come to the point where there has to be a choice made. It's either Barabbas or Jesus. And the problem that you have, by the way, is not that you're stupid, although you act that way. The problem is you're bitter. You come from a background, your mother's bitter, your father's bitter, all your relatives on both sides are bitter, so you're bitter. And bitter means characterized by strong feelings of hatred, resentment, and cynicism. You just don't believe anything. And finally, vinegar means acid. Acid means sharp or sarcastic in temperament or speech. Now, how in the world do you expect the Lord Jesus Christ to bless you and your family, husbands, when you use a sarcastic, sharp temperament and speech when you speak to your wife and your children? How in the world do you expect Jesus Christ to mingle with that? You're on your own, friend. See, that's why nobody listens to you. And I mean nobody. Including your own wrong spirits won't listen to you. Because you try to handle things with a sharp, sarcastic temperament and speech. And immediately that excludes the power of the living God. And you're on your own. And that's why nothing works for you. And I don't care how much harder you work, how much longer you work, and how much more you do, until you get this vinegar out of you, you are on your own. And on top of that, as of tonight, you're also going to have Barabbas on your back. Acid finally means having a heavy concentration of acidity. Why do you think there's such a preoccupation in this day and age with acid and acid things and everything on the market. You got acid indigestion? Yes, you do have acid indigestion. And you should have acid indigestion, as I don't know where else it would be more justified to have acid indigestion. Thank you. Now we have to deal with... I missed something? Thank you. Now vinegar by itself makes you stupid enough. But you see, here's the problem. It's vinegar mingled with gall. Now this word gall comes from the Greek word kole, where we get the word cholera, choleric, and it means gall or bile. It means an anodyne, a poison or an anodyne, a poppy. And here's the word you better get in your mind, because you're going to hear a lot of this Sunday. Gall comes from a Greek word, wormwood. From the book of Revelation, you are going to be amazed at what the word wormwood and gall have. In fact, they're the same word. This word gall comes from the word wormwood or kole. It also means to be bilious, irritable, angry, enraged, and choleric. Now understand this. The Lord is saying, this bad diet that you have, this anger, this bitter resentment, coupled with all these sour things full of bacteria that you're bound and determined that you're going to drink and you're going to eat come hell or high water, not only mingles with gall. I'm going to prove to you in a minute that those things you're eating cause gall. Gall is something you're not supposed to have in your system, except in very minute amounts. But you see, when you have more than necessary because of the vinegar, because of the wrong diet, you become full of gall or choleric. Choleric means having choler, having a bilious temperament. In other words, you're an ass. I don't know how else to put it. It means having a quick temper and irritable. But it comes from the word, or the tracing of the word leads to cholera. If you are choleric, you are courting cholera. Cholera means gall, bile, and nausea. But cholera means any of several intestinal bacteria-induced diseases. Always have some kind a virus, always, somewhere. Well, where does it come from? It starts in the cholera. It starts from an intestinal disease. It starts intestinally. Well, how could it start intestinally? Because it's what you eat and drink. That's why. It doesn't come in through your eyeballs or your ears. Do you not understand that everything that's wrong with the human body starts with the intestines? And cholera is the designation of any of several intestinal diseases. In fact, all diseases have their inception there. But you see, gall, bile, nausea. And then you have the intestinal disease. Well, the reason you have cholera is because you have choler. Choler literally means bile. And in medieval times, when they were a lot smarter than doctors are now, yellow bile or choler was considered as the source of anger and irritability. And they were right, because the Bible just confirmed it. All these thousands of years, this information has been available to mankind. Medical science still doesn't know it. The preachers and the teachers still don't know it. And you're learning it tonight. I don't know if you appreciate it sometimes. Now let me tell you about bile. Bile is the bitter yellow, brown, or greenish fluid secreted by the liver and found in the gallbladder. It is discharged in the duodenum and is necessary for the digestion of fats. In other words, no fats in the diet, no necessity for the liver to secrete this bile, this gall, and no necessity for it to be discharged into the duodenum, and then no necessity for it to spill out over that and infect your gallbladder, so they have to tear it out and get into your bloodstream, so that finally the vinegar mingled with gall taints every decision that you make. And I'll tell you why. Because Jesus Christ, the truth, will not mix with the vinegar and gall. So if you have an impure system, you will never ever make a right decision, because only Jesus Christ is right. And Jesus Christ, the truth, right, does not mix with vinegar and gall. You think I'm stupid? For how many years have I been begging you, pleading with you for your own sake, to give consideration to these things that I'm trying to help you with? And what do? You think you're right. Well, see, the problem is that your body has to manufacture or secrete all of this gall to digest the fats that you're not supposed to be eating in the first place. Well, now let's find out what fat is. Because some of you that have, quote, become vegetarians think, well, I'm like Jack Sprat and I can eat no fat. You don't even know what fat is. Fat comes from an English word, fat. I just have to make sure you're awake every now and then. Fat means an oily, greasy, solid, or semi-solid, oily or greasy material found in animal tissue and in the seeds of plants, or in anything that is the richest part. See, fat and rich are synonymous. Sugar is the fat of the cane. You see, when you take the concentrated, the dregs, the things that are the richest part, you got the fattest part. It's the richest part of anything. When you take grapes and smash them and the strongest, richest part, which is the alcoholic content, you've got the fat of the grape. So you see, my friend, there is fat in everything. So you got to understand, now the fat isn't there to begin with, but you can manufacture it. You can ferment it and turn it into a fat. So now it's a class of glycerol esters of fatty acids that are insoluble in water. Now understand what I'm telling you now. These fatty materials are insoluble in water, which means water does not break them down, water does not liquefy them, they don't mix with water. Water and them, just, it's like oil and water, they just do not mix. Now, in your infinite wisdom and intelligence, you have insisted on introducing all of these fats into a body that's over 90% water, in which the fats that you're eating are insoluble, and they're sticky globs, and they'll stick on the inside of your arteries, they'll stick in the arteries in your brain, they'll stick here and there in your intestines, and they'll fester there, and they'll cause a tumor and cancer, or they'll block an artery and cause a stroke. They're killers. But you see, the problem is they're insoluble in water. The body, trying to defend itself, then secretes all of this gall to try to keep it mushy and gushy so that you can try to float it out. Because see, it doesn't mix. It won't liquefy. Well, you do float most of it out, but every now and then it'll stick here and there. Especially when you don't have the good sense to drink enough water, then it'll stick somewhere. Now, once it sticks, now you're floating some more of this junk later on, but there might be a little turn in the artery there, and you got a little bit stuck there, and something else, another glob sticks on that glob. And now you've got a little more blockage. And over the passage of years, you get dumber and dumber and dumber, because your brain is literally becoming starved for blood. That's why you don't think right. That's why you have the headaches. That's why you can't bend over without seeing little stars. That's why you can't do the things that you used to do. That's why you get tired so quick anymore, because you see your muscles, your tissues are starving for blood. You just, the old gray mare just ain't what she used to be. You're in bad shape, friend. You can't do the things now that you used to do even 3 years ago. Not without having a whole lot of symptoms that you didn't used to have before. Remember when we used to be able to do this and that and just go out physically, and now you can't. And if you try it, you come home hobbling. And you're sore for 3-4 weeks. Well, see, you know, you don't have a problem. God didn't give you a body that doesn't work right. You got a fat problem. You got vinegar and cholera, and you know, and cholera. And you know what the problem is? Now that your body is being starved for blood, in that blood, your tissues, your muscles, when they don't get the blood that they need, they tire, because in that blood is oxygen, among other things. And you've been told, well, you know, you're just getting up there now, and it's time, and you gotta expect to slow down. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You don't have to slow down. I don't have to slow down. I'm not slowing down, and I'm not going to slow down. Now, here's the problem with these fats, this gall that you have that causes the gall. See, the fat is a problem by itself. The real problem is the body trying to defend itself, trying to undo something that you've done, secretes through the liver all of this gall, which solves one problem, but creates a worse one. So now, and why? Because this fat is insoluble in water. Now, insoluble means that cannot be dissolved, cannot be made liquid, will not liquefy, will not melt, will not merge with a liquid, will not pass into solution. That's what insoluble means. Something that will not pass into solution. Now, you talk to any doctor that you want. Colon cancer, it's food stuck there, putrefied, did not pass into solution. You did not pass it through the system, and bingo, you end up one day very dead, after a very painful experience. Why? Because you insist on eating and drinking things that will not pass into solution. They're insoluble in water. Now, I know you'd like to hear about Jesus and how wonderful he is, and how once you're saved, his grace will take care of everything, and you don't have to give up anything. You don't have to do anything. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Can't handle. It can't digest, so it can't get any nutrition out of it. Plus the fact that there is no nutrition in fats. But that's not the real problem. They will not liquefy. They become blobs. And that's why people start having skin problems and aging spots and wrinkles, and their skin goes bad. Why? Because your skin, your tissue is starving for nutrition. It's starving for healthy blood. Why? You're giving it vinegar and gall. And you're counting on the fact that you're in your 20s and your 30s now, but you're ugly for that age. I can only imagine what you're going to look like in another 10 years. You ain't too hot now. But I will admit this, you looked a whole lot better 10 years ago, 5 years ago, than you do now. I wish I'd have taken pictures of you. As bad a shape as you were in, most of you look better then. Do you get that feeling like gravity is not your friend? Well, what's in this gall? You see, people say, well, what in the world would cause an individual to want to do that? Because I'll admit to you, there is a desire to have that gall. I didn't know what it was, but this food, this wrong food, these drinks, this nicotine, why does it cause such a good feeling? Why does it soothe? Why does it feel so good? You know, your mouth even waters when you're thinking about all this wrong food and the sugar and chocolate and ice cream and milk and all those things that become globs that don't do you any good whatsoever. Why do they make you feel good? Is there something inside of them that makes them make you feel good? No. In your gall, in the collar, part of the makeup of that collar is an enzyme or a property called anodyne. And anodyne has a very simple definition. Anodyne, by definition, means anything that soothes or relieves pain. So let me tell you what happens. You eat wrong because you're stressed out, you're whatever, something's wrong with you. That stuff that you eat and drink that you think tastes so good and that you need so bad, it is killing your body. Your body then reacting to that, and in the process of the gall coming out to try to liquefy and get rid of it, it also passes out a property called anodyne. And anodyne soothes and relieves the pain that that fat is causing in your body as your body is trying to emulsify it and pass it into solution. Now, it's the anodyne that soothes and relaxes. It's the anodyne that makes you feel good. It is not the food. It is not the cookies. It is not the ice cream. It is not the alcohol. It is not the drugs. It is not the temper. It is, you see, people say, oh, I feel so much better after I just, how come I feel better after I scream and holler and throw things and cuss? How come people, women say, oh, I feel so much better after I've had a good cry? No, that's not why. You know what it is? When you start getting emotional like that, you are causing pain and there is stress inside of you. Your body then secretes the gall, and in the gall is the anodyne, because God is trying to soothe you and bring you down, relieve you, until he can get you clear to talk to you. You mistakenly think that the anodyne, which is soothing and relieving, is the food or the drink or the cigarette or whatever, and Satan has slipped one by you as slick as anything. And what is that? That is something that's good and evil, isn't it? It's evil because it's causing damage to your body. It's evil because it causes pain. But it's good because it causes your body to secrete and put out this anodyne, which soothes and relieves and gives you a good feeling. So it's evil and good. But it has nothing to do with the food. See, some people used to tell me all the time, and I didn't know the answer, but I know now. Well, why did God make it so taste so good? How come I like it so much if it's so bad? It doesn't taste good, and it doesn't make you feel good. It's your own body trying to protect itself from that garbage that you're giving it, and the body is secreting what it needs to soothe and relieve. But look how Satan did it. He then wants you to believe that the soothing and the relieving comes from what you're eating. So psychologically, you become addicted to what you're eating because you think that's bringing you the relief, and it isn't. It's the gall that you're secreting, or more accurately, the anodyne in the gall. The problem with that is that the gall is there primarily to try to emulsify or pass the fat. So you see, you get into a vicious cycle. One thing causes another problem, causes another problem, causes another problem. After a while, what difference does it make which problem killed you? It just doesn't make any difference. Now you say, well, what about this anodyne and this? I don't understand gall. It's wormwood. Now I'm going to share something with you, and then I'm going to quit. You need to see this. Turn to Revelation 8:10. Next time you see that ice cream cone or whatever it is, understand there ain't a thing in that thing that's making you feel good. Revelation 8:10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. Now remember, gall, one of the definitions was wormwood. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. There, right there, is a medical explanation for why people are dying in the numbers that they do, and why medical science doesn't have a clue as to what to do about it. It's your gall. It's your vinegar and your gall is causing the wormwood to be, it falls into the waters. They do not mix. They make the waters bitter. The waters then cannot cleanse out your system. The first thing you court is kidney failure because you overwork the kidneys because there's just too much garbage in the waters. And one day when you're strapped to a machine and your pee-pee's in a bag next to you and you can't go anywhere, then you will remember this message and I'll go and see you and I'll say, see that? See that pee-pee there in the bag there? I warned you about that. I told you a machine was going to have to go potty for you. I told you that was going to happen. I told you not to do that. Now, you want to find it out that way, you go right ahead. But my brother and my sister, I'm praying to God that you don't. Many men died because of the wormwood, because of the gall in the waters. You see, God is saying if this is going to happen on a grand scale on the earth one day in the book of Revelation, it's going to happen on a grand scale. God's going to bring it down in living color and show in great detail what is happening already in everybody in here. And also telling you what to do about it. Now turn to Amos 5:6. I'm not through with wormwood yet. Some will say, well, then what causes it? I mean, Does the food cause the wormwood? Does the wormwood cause the desire for the wrong food? No. No, you'll have to go one step further to see what causes the whole thing. Amos 5:6. Amos 5:6. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live. Lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Well, what does that mean? What the heck are you talking about? Next verse. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood. Ye who turn the messages. Ye who turn the truth. And you get upset. And you get gall. And you get angry. And you turn the judgment of God into wormwood. So where does the gall start? Where does the wormwood start? Right here. Right here, when you make a decision that you know more about the truth of the living God than this book and the man that he appointed to preach it to you. Ye turn judgment to wormwood. There's your problem. You think you know better. You think that somehow God has called you to just sit there and judge, and if you don't agree, you don't have to do it. Well, let me tell you, one of us has got to be wrong. And the one that's wrong is the one that's not being blessed. And I don't think that would take a genius to figure out who that is. So verse 7 says, ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. So you turn judgment. The word judgment means divine law. It means justice. It means he who pronounces sentence, a judge, a sermon. You turn the judgment into wormwood, into gall. You get upset, you get angry, you get stressed. Now, once you have the gall, now you have the anodynes. Now the whole thing starts with the Word of God, doesn't it? And what you do with Jesus Christ. What will you do with Jesus? That's the answer. And that's also the question. But you see, the problem here is that this gall, this wormwood, starts, first of all, many will die because it'll get into the water. But the reason, see, wormwood just doesn't happen. See, say, well, God is good, and he said everything that he made was good. Now, how could he make wormwood, which isn't good, and then still say that everything that he made is good? Well, everything he did make was good. You have the ability to turn good into evil. God said, woe unto you that call good evil and evil good. So how do you create? How do you ferment? How do you moonshiner you? How do you make wormwood? You turn judgment to wormwood. When your wife tells you something that's true and you get upset and the gall starts going, you have just turned truth into wormwood. When you hear your boss tells you the truth and you get upset, you've turned judgment, the truth, into wormwood. When your children ask you a question and they're personifying you, they're exposing you by being just like you, they're pronouncing judgment on you, and you get upset, you've turned the judgment into wormwood. Well, where did it start? Right here. Because this is where the first judgment was passed. And you turn judgment to wormwood And what happens to the individual that does that? So you got to read that whole scripture. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. In other words, you turn this judgment into anger, into gall, and then you leave off doing what's right. In other words, you can't do what's right. It isn't that you don't want to, you can't. Why? Because you won't do what you can do. You don't have to turn this judgment into wormwood. You don't have to choose Barabbas. You get a free choice. Having made the choice, then the consequences or the benefits that follow that choice, you have nothing to do with. If you choose the truth, the benefits that follow that are irrevocable. Nothing or no one, including you, can stop them. The benefits cannot be stopped once the part of you that God has given and said, this is where the decision, this is what I will honor, this is where the dominion is, and if this says, I want the truth, I will not turn judgment into wormwood, then the truth and all its benefits come no matter what. I don't even care if you fight against him. You can't. They'll come anyway. Conversely, when you turn judgment to wormwood, you will leave off righteousness. And that means I don't care what you do, you're going to get the consequences of wormwood. And here's the problem with wormwood. Here's the problem with gall. Here's the problem with all this fermented stuff. No matter what you do, you cannot pass it into solution. Doesn't matter how many times you get married, there is no solution. You got a problem with women. You got a problem with your masculinity. You've got a problem with your femininity. No matter what you do, you marry 1,000 more times, you are not going to solve this because the problem you have does not pass into solution. It is insoluble. Understand this, it is insoluble. There is no answer to what you're trying to find an answer to. There is none. I don't know why. How much more time are you going to waste trying to find an answer that doesn't exist? You're trying to turn something that's evil, that was good first, you turned it into something bad, and now that it's a glob, it's stuck to you. It's stuck on Band-Aid, and you're stuck on Band-Aid, and Band-Aid stuck on you. And then you try to find an answer to it, and there is no answer. Now let me tell you something. Water is the universal solvent. There is nothing that water cannot break down. Water can turn steel into a liquid if you give it enough time. Wood, anything, I don't care what it is. You put anything in water and leave it there long enough, and before the time is over, you will have a liquid. It's the universal solvent. Cold, hard steel, blocks of it. Put it in water, leave it there long enough, and you will have a brown, rust-colored liquid after years and years, whatever time it takes. That's the properties of water. It's the universal solvent. But we have just learned there's one thing that is insoluble in water. Water will not liquefy, and water liquefies steel. Now, you're smart enough to know that if you went out and ate a bucket of nails, you're going to die. Because you see, before the water in you can turn that bucket of nails into a solution, you'd be long gone. You'd be spitting up, you wouldn't be a happy camper when you went to the bathroom. That's an awful thought, you know that? But here's the irony of the whole thing. Understanding, this is the ironic twist. Knowing that, you will still insist on putting something into your body that can sit there for 100,000 years and they will never mix, they will never liquefy. It is insoluble in water, no longer how long you leave it there. So listen, friend, you be angry all you want, you be judgmental all you want, you do all these things as long as you want. You will never find the solution because there is no solution, because that stuff does not pass into solution. You are consigned yourself for the rest of your life to be the jerk you are right now. And the only thing you can hope for is that you'll get worse, and you will. And, you know, isn't it strange that the relief will come with death, temporarily. But let me tell you one thing where you're rolling the dice. Are you absolutely sure that you can handle the truth of the living God that way and be saved? Are you absolutely true that you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, which continuously and perpetuously says no to God? I don't want to do that, or I'll do it temporarily, but I'm not in the mood right now, and I'm going to do whatever I want, and I'm just going to pretend like it doesn't exist. Is that the Spirit of God? And if you think it is, I hope you're right, because you are gambling with your soul. You're gambling with your eternity. Because let me tell you something. Once you get here tonight, you're going to make a choice. And if you choose Barabbas, I think you've chosen something else. My own personal opinion, I don't care what the odds were in Las Vegas, I would not lay any money that your soul is on the way to heaven right now. I don't know. I can't make the judgment. All I'm saying, based on the evidence and seeing what I saw in this book, all of these people that said, give us Barabbas and crucify him. We don't want to know the truth. Don't bother us with details. We don't care if he did no evil. Just crucify him, get him out of our life, and give us Barabbas. I don't want to hear the truth. Every one of those individuals is in hell right now. And I don't know, maybe they can hear this message. Maybe God has piped it in for them to remind them again of what they did. I hope and pray to God you don't get the pew next to them. But I think I would do some real serious thinking if all of this knowledge, all this wisdom, all that we've learned over all these years, and you still insist on rejecting the truth. Still insist on rejecting. You want all the blessings, but you're still rejecting the truth. And you have no more excuses, because God, every excuse that you gave has been taken care of. Every single one. People in here couldn't eat. You can eat now. People in here didn't have anything to eat. You got it now. People in here didn't have much of anything. You've got everything that you said would take to make you happy. And what are you now? You're worse off because you're still rejecting the truth. But now you have no excuse. Well, why? Because we've come to Golgotha. It's time for this thought process to take over. And now tonight you're going to make a choice. I don't know what it is. I hope you make the right choice. But tonight you're going to make a choice. And if you think you haven't, no answer is as good as a no. See, when you got saved and the preacher said, does anybody want to get saved? And they said, no, I don't. I'm not going to say anything, but I really do. No answer was the same as a no. You had to come forward, you had to make a decision, you had to articulate the decision. You had to say yes. Nothing is as good as a no. So if you sit there and think, well, I'm not even going to pay attention, you have said no. I hope for your sake that you're right, because you must think I'm wrong. But if I'm right, and this book is right, and you're saying no, just by not saying anything, you're choosing Barabbas. And everybody that chose him is in hell right now. And he's going to have a lot. There's going to be a lot more there to join him. I don't want to be the pastor of a church who sits around preaching to people year after year after year, and then when we all get to heaven, I find some of you aren't there. And Jesus said, you know, you should have made mention of that. You should have not just backed. You should not have assumed anything. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So if you're in hell, I want my conscience. I want to be clean of it. I want to say, I did everything that I could do. Everything that I was told, I repeated. Everything I could show you, I showed you. And if you choose to go anyway, what can I do? And more importantly, what can you do? Then nothing. Now everything. The choice is yours. At 8:25 on September the, what is this today? September the 30th. Picture this. El Cajon, September the 30th. 8:25, members of El Cajon Baptist Church were asked to make a decision. Will you have Jesus or Barabbas? Do you want the vinegar and the gall and the excuses, or do you want to clean up your mind and make the right decision? The choice is yours, but you're going to make a choice, and you're going to make it right now. And what it is entirely between you and God. I hope you know now what it is, and don't have to wait till you wake up in the there and there and the by and by to find out and hope that you made the right decision by assuming that I didn't know what I was talking about. I have a notion and an idea that I know what I'm talking about. I have a notion and an idea that you heard the truth and it got you right where you need to be gotten tonight. And I have a notion that if you think you can skate another day, another week, well, I'll just leave it the way it is for another week. No. You make a decision. It's going to be made tonight. And you make whatever decision you want, but you make a decision. I leave it up to you. I'm done. I'm finished. Sunday, I'll come back. And if there's any of you left, there's more where this came from. We've just begun with this vinegar and gall and anodyne, but you're going to learn more about you. You know, some of you could pass, and you have pre-medical.
That's right.
Some of you have pre-med.
Amen.
You know more than medical science does about how your body works. Whether you appreciate it or not, that's quite another issue.